Well, good morning. This is a big day for us. Absolutely incredible. You guys are my heroes for the day. You hear me? Loud and proud, bold, going to make a proclamation of Jesus in the way of action. And so let me just say by beginning, if you're a visitor with us today, it's a great, great honor to have you. This is a secondary Super Bowl Sunday for us, if you will. Easter would be Super Bowl. This is second to that. And that's just because we get to see Jesus do what only he's powerful enough to do. Amen? And so this is a wonderful Sunday to join us. If this is your first time, I often invite friends, people that I meet. Man, you got to come to church, check it out. You know, and I typically get resistance. Nah, I don't do church anymore. Church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. In which case, I always respond, well, hey, we always got a seat for one more. You can come on down. You can join us. We don't claim to be perfect. We just simply met the one who is. Amen? And so what you're going to witness this morning is something truly authentic. And there's a sincerity about it, and there's a legitimacy about it. And the reason that I say that is because there's an action about it. And so when Jesus said that ultimately what we hear through the Apostle Paul in Romans 10, that if you confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Is that not incredible? Is that not the greatest exchange you've ever heard in your entire life? That your confession leads to your eternal security. But underpinning that, Jesus then said, now be baptized, demonstrating by a form of action that you now are being baptized into my death, raised to new life in Christ, which gives all the power then to the beginnings of your and my faith. That there's something that transpires in the way of action and by you and I demonstrating what we say that leads to an invigoration. See, action speaks so much louder than words. We know this universally in every aspect of life. You'll hear people say, hey, don't just say it, but do it. You know, don't just tell me about it, live it. You know, my wife often says, don't tell me you love me, show me you love me. Clean up after yourself, Sammy. You know, send me something, gift me something, take me somewhere. I always argue, why don't I just make a Facebook post? She says, no, she doesn't want that. She wants actions that prove my love for her, because actions speak so much louder than words. Actions speak so much louder than opinions or your and my intentions or our ideologies. Actions scream what words could never. And the same principle, I want you to understand, applies to your and my faith. That there must be an action, that there must be an outworking, a lifestyle, a behavior that proves that what you and I claim is true. And may I just say that when we apply actions to our faith, rather than just say it, but actually do it, it infuses power into our faith like nothing else can. And this is precisely the faith that Jesus is said actually pleases him, that he looks for, that he desires out of the life of the believer. It was a few weeks ago that I was sitting in my office and I looked across the office. I have a lamp. It's a cool lamp, but it's an IKEA lamp. And so that particular day, the bulb within that lamp went out. So I just sort of got up and I went over to a console, and I have this junk drawer in my office, and you know, it's got like that one single bulb that sort of rolls around, you know, everybody's got one, you know. So I just grabbed that bulb and I took the old one out and I put the new one in, click, 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 nothing. And so I figured, that bulb must have been burnt out, you know, as well. And so I walked across the church, I found, you know, another bulb, you know, an incandescent bulb is what I was looking for. I didn't want that little spiral thing, you know. I wasn't looking to conserve energy. I just want to, you know, light up my room. So I found that bulb, I took it back, I put it in, click, 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 nothing. And so that didn't work. So I then found myself down in this breaker panel over here, which is about, you know, the length of that wall right there. And I'm just hitting breakers, right? I have no idea what breaker leads to my office, let alone my side of the wall on my office, right? But I'm hitting them all, just about burned the church down. But, you know, I thought I need to get that light lit, you know? And so I hit all the breakers, go back, nothing. And so I figured it was an IKEA lamp tray. You know what I'm talking about? You got them. Hey, it's got about a 5-month shelf life. It's no good anymore. Got to go get another one. So I sat there in the dark, half of my, you know, office, you know, dark, you know, I had people in there. I was counseling them throughout the week. Meanwhile, they're sitting in the dark. I'm in the light, you know, looking at me like, what's up? What's up with the creeper, you know, sitting there, you know, why am I in the dark, you know? So I would apologize, yada, yada, yada. Well, lo and behold, after about a week of that, I get up to leave my office to go home for the day, and I look down underneath the chair only to see that little thing called a plug had found its way out of the wall, therefore leaving that light powerless. Had all the bulbs that were correct, the IKEA lamp still worked, had all the promise of illumination, yet no source to actually empower it. And may I just say that when it comes to you're in my faith, that when we talk and when we promise and when we declare, yeah, that's the beginnings of illumination, but the actions are what empower that illumination. The actions are what invigorate that illumination and give life to your and my faith in Jesus. And this is why James, in the second chapter, when writing a letter, mind you, he's Jesus' younger brother. James is now a man that lives out his faith. He's not playing church. He's not playing games. He's not over-promising and under-delivering. And James says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. It's dead. It's non-existent. It's a facade of what could be, but isn't. He goes on and say, but someone would say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. What James just did here is very simply, he distilled faith down into two categories. And so oftentimes faith for us, if you're anything like me and you're not the brightest, faith can remain this sort of abstract concept. Faith can remain sort of mystical, like are there layers to it? How come some people have it and some don't? And what exactly is quantifiable faith? And what James says is when it comes to faith and you're in my belief in Jesus, it's really only one of two categories. One, either there's dead faith, and that's faith that's all show and no go. That's faith that's words only. It doesn't have anything behind it to sort of underpin it. It's the declaration of wanting something but not having any actions to really underpin that something. And then James says, no. And then there's another faith. And this faith categorically is in a whole nother world. And not only is this not dead faith, this is called dynamic faith. And if you're wondering what dynamic faith is, the definition for dynamic is a force that leads to change in progress. And this faith is a faith that sets you and I on a trajectory that we're ultimately never the same. It changes your life and it changes your perspective. It changes your relationship with the God of heaven. It operates in a sphere that people look on and are inspired by. And it's infectious and it's something about it that you see and you go, I want that. And that faith is dynamic. And the deciding factor is one faith has action and the other does not. One faith actually walks the walk. The other just talks. And what James is saying here is when it comes to you and I walking with Jesus, there's a certain faith that pleases God. There's a certain faith that he looks for in the life of the believer, considering his grandeur and his majesty, how awesome and incredible he is, considering the price that he paid, considering that he walked out of a borrowed tomb after 3 days. He deserves a certain type of faith. You feel me? It's not just sort of mediocre, lukewarm faith. That type of faith, he said, it actually makes me nauseated. But then there's another faith that pleases me, and this faith was actually demonstrated in the life of this guy that had no idea that you and I, 2,000 years after the fact, would be gleaning from his very example on a Sunday afternoon morning in Glen Burnie, Maryland, talking about him. But somehow his faith pleased God in such a way that he found himself on the pages of Scripture completely unaware of what would transpire the day that he met Jesus. The context is that Jesus now is being followed by an entourage. He has his disciples that are with him, and he is now, as he is heading towards Jerusalem, he finds himself in a city named Jericho. It says this in the Gospel of Mark. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. commonplace for that time of day and commonplace for that era, in which case, like, if you had a disability, if you were a pauper, if you were, you know, destitute, if you had nothing, what you would do is find a main thoroughfare that you would sort of sit beside every day, day in, day out, week in, week out, and you would ask for alms or offerings, whatever people would spare. And so this is where blind Bartimaeus lived. This was his life, and this is where he would find his intersection with Jesus, the Christ. Blind Bartimaeus was there sitting beside the road, and when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout. And let me just say that there's a conception point to faith. There's something that's ignited in your and my life that begins your and my journey. The chase begins when something is ultimately ignited in you and me. And I want you to understand, friends, that dynamic faith hears something. That the point of your and my beginning is at the point that you and I first hear Jesus. It comes in the form of like a sweet whisper, like unannounced. It comes when you don't expect it. Something happens in the recesses of your soul when you become aware of, maybe it's just a discontentment. Maybe it just becomes an awareness of, wait a minute, I should be at a different place in life. Maybe it's an awareness of, why am I so filled with anxiety when I desire so much peace? How come I'm not as joyful as he or she? How come I feel convicted over my sin all of a sudden? How come I feel this arbitrary feeling just to get to church? It comes when you hear something. You know what I'm talking about? You don't know where it comes from. You don't know when it happens. It doesn't come like pre-planned. It just shows up and you know. You know why you know? Because you're a spiritual being, more over having a natural experience. Much less of a natural being having a spiritual experience. That you and I are created in the very image of God, constructed by our maker and creator. He knows how to speak to you. He knows when to speak to you. And his voice is like none other. It's not like chatter or white noise. It's something that rattles your insides and you know, whoa, something is different. I distinctly remember hearing that voice. My place was in a rehab years ago of where the whisper of Jesus pierced my stony, cold heart, never to leave me the same. I knew it. I knew the moment that it happened. I didn't want anything to do with Jesus. I was cynical, critical, negative. Nevertheless, the God of heaven pierced into the room that I lie at 9 o'clock at night and spoke to me in a way that rattled my soul. Here I stand testifying of me hearing something years and years later. Where were you? Where were you when you first heard it? I remember Mike was standing right here when he heard, listen, I need to get saved. I remember Dave Shabilsky was in his teens when he was driving, he knew. I have a friend, Donnie Zimmerman, that was on 97 and heard the sweet whisper that made him immediately pull over. It was Trey Watts that was sitting right here under the sound of a sermon that he knew, whoa, I'm way off point here. It was Steve Healy when he was out in California. He knew something's got to be different in me and my family. He was in Norfolk, and in that same chatter sort of resonated in his soul. Where were you when you heard? Because when you hear it, there's nothing like it. And so it was that Bartimaeus heard. He had heard of many people pass him by. He had heard of many people pass that thoroughfare, men and women and all kinds of animals and the like. Yet this day, he heard Jesus of Nazareth, and naturally he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. It couldn't shut him up. And can I just say, listen to me, this is to my team here. Don't you be surprised, come tomorrow, the next day, this afternoon, Wednesday, Thursday, that you start getting resistance, that you start testifying of what God's done in your life and what you've experienced, and you start hearing people get cynical, people get critical, people pushing back on you. You know why? Because dead faith hates dynamic faith. Dead faith can't stand the light. Darkness can't stand the light. The world can't stand truth. And so you start proclaiming it and actually living it out. oh, you invoke resistance, just like Bartimaeus did. And so they started yelling, be quiet, get dignified. Don't be a radical. Don't be a Jesus freak. Why are you going to Lighthouse? They're a bunch of weirdos. That's true. But hey, you know, don't get so serious about this. And this is precisely what happened with Bartimaeus. And it says that he only shouted all the more. And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. Here we go. Lights out. Tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. The world's crazy. They just got done telling him to shut up. Now they're telling him to cheer up. You guys shut up. Cheer up, they said. Come on. He's calling you. And Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. See, when dynamic faith hears something, look at me. Dynamic faith has to do something. Dynamic faith, when it hears something, dynamic faith then responds because then it does something. That, see, your body follows what your head believes. There's an emotive response. Understand this about Bartimaeus. He wasn't mechanical. He wasn't like, okay, I got to apply this Christian principle right now, and then I learned in church that I should do this right now, and then I remember hearing one time in a sermon that I should start shouting right now. No. It just instinctively, he just started shouting, acting a fool. You know what I mean? Because he had heard the risen Savior. He had heard the Messiah. Naturally, then, he just starts to start shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Why? Because his faith believed if I can get his attention, everything can be different. And naturally now, not only is he shouting, scripture says that his cloak, the one article of possession that he had, he throws it to the side. It's sort of a big deal. Why? Because the cloak is the only thing that he owned. It was his pillow by night, that was his shelter by day, that was his blanket in the cold, that was that which covered his filth, and moreover, the cloak was given him by the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious right of the day, and they saw in their pious religion that they would gift a beggar a cloak to make themselves feel better, but in so doing, it also identified the beggar as a beggar. So it deemed them unclean, so all onlookers would know that you're destitute and that you've fallen on hard times and that we shouldn't mess with you. This is what identified him as that. And that cloak is the very thing that he knew as soon as Jesus summonsed him, oh, my whole world is getting ready to go lights out. My whole future's getting ready to shift. My whole identity's getting ready to take on a new form. He knew before he even read that those that meet Jesus, the old is gone and the new has come. You become a brand new creation. He knew it in faith, like, oh, this is getting ready to go down. So he throws his identity to the side to go meet Jesus. Why? Because dynamic faith does something. It changes something. It shifts something. Some of you, I know where you're at. You're right on the precipice, and you're like, I don't want to be like a Bartimaeus. I don't want to be a weirdo. Go ahead and get weird. It'll change your life. Amen? It'll change your life. I never intended in a million years, oh, I'm going to grow up and be a weird Jesus freak. Lo and behold, here I stand. This is what happened. I met Jesus in a rehab. The whisper of Jesus changed my life, and so I had to do something. I would not only spend 13 months in that rehab, I would go on to Bible college. I would spend my life trying to herald my simple testimony. Why? Because I was the beggar. As D.L. Moody said, I'm just one beggar trying to tell other beggars where to find bread. I was the Bartimaeus. I was the one laying there destitute, strung out, whacked out, and miserable. I was he. And so naturally, you must then follow him. And so now Bartimaeus throws his cloak to the side, and he's getting ready to meet his maker. And scripture says that he then comes to Jesus, and it says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. What a question. You know what I mean? No? You don't think that's a big deal? What a question. What do you want me to do for you? This is the very creator that created the cosmos, that hung stars in their space, that knows the intricacies of your inner biological construct, that created that which is visible and invisible. And he stands there and says, what do you want me to do for you? There's not a greater question you and I could ever hear. And may I just say, friends, that this very day, Jesus asked you and I the same question. What do you want me to do for you? Where is it that you want me to meet you? What is it that you want me to shift in you? What is it that you want me to change for you? This is the same creator that loves your and my questions or requests. He's not intimidated by our menial sort of, you know, asks, if you will. He's the one that created all and sees all. He can handle your request, amen? And so he says to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus responds, my rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. I want to see. He didn't even clutch. There wasn't even a hesitation. It wasn't like, well, let me think about it, or I don't want to inconvenience you, or I see that you got a big entourage here and you're probably heading towards Jerusalem, so I don't want to slow you down. He didn't care. He said, I want to see. I want my life back. I want my future back. I want me back. I want my visual back. I want my perspective back. And some of you, you sit here today, listen, God is waiting for you to do something. And you're doing something come in the form of a simple confession and the request. Lord, I want peace in my heart. I want hope in the place of despair. I want joy in the place of depression. I want harmony in my marriage. I want freedom from addiction. I want my life back. I want purpose. I want sight. I want it all. I remember telling Ruth when I met Jesus, she says, what do you pray often? And I say, I pray often, Jesus, I want it all, because you're big enough to give it all. I want it all. I want all the fixings. I want the salad bar. I want the 5-course meal. I want the little relish tray. I want it all. I don't want to stop anywhere short. I want it all. Why? Because I know that your word says you love me enough to give it all. And so I want it all like a kid. And Jesus then, hearing him say, I want to see, Jesus said to him, go. I imagine Jesus looked at him like, you know what? I like you, dude. Bartimaeus, you're good people. And I'm glad to meet you. Go, he said, for your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. What was his faith? His faith is that he was shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he got up and he simply moved towards him. Your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see, like, what? Could you imagine? Like, could you imagine being the people that, you know, just a moment ago were telling him, be quiet, shut up. And now he sees and he's looking at you like, no, you shut up. Could you imagine? You would feel like such a heel. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Why? Because not only does dynamic faith begin by hearing something, but dynamic faith then does something. Why? Because dynamic faith knows that it receives something. It receives far greater than where it begins. It doesn't end where it starts. It receives that which the Creator intends to give. And so let me tell you guys something. Today is a declaration done by action. And there is something to be received in that. That you are going to be buried into Christ's death, raised to life in Christ's resurrection. You will receive something. There's a blessing that comes with baptism. He honors those that step out in faith. He loves doers, not just talkers. And you guys, I could not be more proud of you today. Your church family is proud of you today. We're inspired by you today. This is just the beginning today. And here I stand. And it was that day that I heard Jesus that would set me on a trajectory. If you would have told me years ago, hey, one day you're going to stand on stage and you're going to pastor this incredible church, I would have said, you're a liar and you need rehab. I would have never believed it. Lo and behold, God met me as a beggar. By God's grace, he showed himself to me even when I was an enemy and cynical. He would then set me on a road. I would marry the love of my life, have 3 kids that I don't deserve, have the incredible honor to pastor this church. And what satisfies me the most is not what I have, but who I've met. that one day I will spend all of eternity with my Creator. I will lose my mind standing shoulder to shoulder with blind Bartimaeus. Then he and I are going to dance a jig together because we were once blind and now we see. And what Jesus simply invites you and I to ask is, Lord, I want to see. For some of you, you don't see today. You're sort of walking blind and you're groping in the dark and you don't have to anymore. You hear me? Jesus is waiting for you to do something. And so I know there's a whisper in your ear right now. Don't do anything. Dude's a weirdo. Don't move any closer. Let's not get radical. Don't feel the need to respond to that. We'll think about it tomorrow. And that is the enemy just trying to hold you stagnant. We would love to introduce you to Jesus today. It would be our greatest honor. We would love to see you get baptized today. It would be another honor. And we would love to see you leave here different today because that's what Jesus wants for you. Amen. This is what I want to leave you with. In Hebrews 11, as we get ready to baptize my dear friends, it says that the writer says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible is a sort of big word. It's like the biggest word. Writer of Hebrews is not being hyperbolic here. He's trying to lay the weight of what is actually happening. Without faith, and we just understood that faith without works is dead. So without faith with action, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him, listen to this is incredible, must believe that Jesus exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He rewards those. Some of you, I just want you to get your reward. The greatest reward is that you get your soul satisfied by the Creator of your soul. He rewards those who diligently seek him. He rewards those that step out with faith and action. He's going to reward you guys for your boldness. He's rewarded this church because of the lives of men and women that have taken him at his word. Faith is so simple. It's not complex. We make it complex. We add all these weird dimensions to it and get hyper-theological about it, when in fact, Jesus says, take me at my word and take a step closer to me and watch me change your life. I don't need for you to clean up before you get to me. I'm going to meet you right where you are. For some of us today, today's your day. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. And don't let no whisper and devil in hell tell you, just hold fire. Hear me? Jesus loves you way too much. So if that be you today, let me just ask you a bold question. If you feel, I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to just hold fire anymore. I want to do something with my faith. I would just ask you right now in a bold declaration, just slip your hand up right now. One, two, three, just high and proud. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. Amen. That's action, and Jesus sees it. I just want to invite you. I'm going to pray a prayer, and then if that be you, we would love to talk to you, further you. We got a gift for you, and we would love to just tease that out as we watch our brothers and sisters. Some of you, you might make the decision, I want to get baptized. We got shorts for you. We got hip shirts for you. We even got clean towels for you, cleaner than at your house. But I want you to pray with me, and then I want you to respond with me. Do something. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. We ask you, Lord, to come in and make your residence in our heart. And Lord, we ask you to become Lord and God of our lives. And we ask you, Father, by your Spirit dwelling in us, to empower us to follow you just as blind Bartimaeus did. Father, forgive us for running the other way when you were calling us to walk your way.
Lord, thank you for saving our soul from eternal damnation. And Father, we pray that you would be Lord of all and over all as now we begin the journey of dynamic faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. If you just prayed that prayer, the angels are dancing for you right now. Amen. Over underneath this screen is a hand that just went up. We would love to talk to you, but with no further ado, let's do the dang thing. Amen.